Then Bob Crossfield, or Onias as he was called, got a revelation on me. He got a revelation, he says, that I was supposed to write a treatise on marriage. And at that time, you know, most of the people that broke off in the church believed in plural marriage. And we kind of thought, Curtis and I kind of thought, well, you know, that might be something we might have to do someday, you know, because that was in the original church. Onias was expecting me to write a treatise on supporting plural marriage. And so I thought that's probably where it might lead. And so I sat down to write several times, and I just had a stupor of thought. Just nothing came. And so I was, I thought, well, maybe I'll read the scriptures for some inspiration. And I was reading in Ephesians, where it says the husband is the head of the wife, and the wife is to be subject to the husband as the husband is subject to Christ. And then a couple of verses down, he says, herein lies a great mystery. And I thought, a great mystery? What's the great mystery? Huh. Never saw that before. And this is one of the most controversial scriptures in the whole Bible about woman be subject to your husband as your husband is subject to Christ. And as I might comment on that scripture a little bit. It means that if the husband is not subject to Christ, then the woman doesn't have to be subject to the husband. Because if the husband is subject to Christ and receives from Christ, then receiving from the husband is like receiving from Christ. But anyway, he says, herein lies a great mystery. And I kept thinking, what is a great mystery? And then all of a sudden, the whole answer was downloaded in my brain. The whole concept of the molecular relationship was downloaded. And I thought, wow, this is totally different than I thought. And so I began writing about it, and the first draft of it I called molecular marriage, I think, or the molecular relationship. I give it to Onias to read it. He just read it over and he goes, No. And it wasn't long after that he got a revelation I was falling. No. I fell because of pride, and Curtis was falling too. But the great part was he couldn't excommunicate us because we had control of the organization. Curtis and I had started it. So he couldn't excommunicate us. But his daughter and one of my nephews was pretty close to him, because especially the daughter, and she was over our total mailing list. They confiscated the mailing list, sent letters out to everybody on the mailing list telling them that we had fallen. So we didn't even have the mailing list anymore. They had the mailing list. And so the organization fell apart short time after that. People got all kinds of revelations. One guy got a revelation that he was Hitler reincarnated. You know, another guy saw a 500-foot Jesus somewhere that spoke to him. Another guy goes to church and hears a voice that says, this is Zion. It fell apart, but before it fell apart, part of the revelation that I received was there was a connecting link made by Jesus at the time of baptism when the Holy Spirit rested upon him. What rested upon him was actually another entity. John was asked in a prayer in the first part of John, but John the Baptist that was asking, how will I recognize the Messiah? You will recognize him when you see the Spirit rest upon him and enter into him. So in other words, John the Baptist was baptizing all these people, and they would feel the Spirit, and then it would just like come and go. But with Jesus, it was different. When Jesus' Spirit came on him, it entered actually into him. And the revelation of John the Baptist says, and this is the Son of God. So the Son of God was the one that came and actually entered into him. And there were two entities in one body at the same time. And Jesus tried to explain this to the apostles, but they were really dense. And he said things like to them, look, you see me doing these things. It's not me that's doing them. It's the one that's in me. He is doing them. And then the Jews came to Jesus and they said, it says in our law that something has to be proven by two witnesses, and you're just one witness. And Jesus says, no, I'm not just one. He says, there's me and the one in me. Okay? Yet, he's pretty clear on all these things, but the disciples just, it went over their heads. And they were kind of frustrated with Jesus because they didn't understand that. And Philip says to him, Jesus, okay, show us the Father. You keep talking about the Father, show us him. And he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, if you're looking at me, you're looking at me and the Father that is within me. When I got this revelation, I thought, well, this means that somebody in the group is going to have something similar happen to them. We have some really good people here. But the really good people that are really seeking are hard to find. There's not a lot of people out there that can't find the truth just because they don't know where to look. Well, there may be somewhere, but maybe they don't know how to look. But there's the people that are really seeking are very difficult to find. Almost everybody has some problem with the personality, the ego. A lot of people that have come and went are people that are just wanting personal power, wanting endowments of greater psychism or greater sensitivity or connection to God, something for themselves. The people that we need to build the molecule are people that are looking beyond themselves to serve something higher than themselves. And those people are few and far in between. Yet when the first molecule is created, and this time it will be created with the idea of it not being destroyed, the one that Jesus created shortly thereafter he left, it fell apart. This is one of the things that the hierarchy has discovered, and the hierarchy learns, just like we learn, that sometimes in past history they have helped too much, showed too many miracles, too many extrasensory things, and the people that are enamored by these type of things are often people that are not true searchers, but just impressed by the power that's shown forth, like Simon in the book of Acts, when he saw that Peter had the power to give the Holy Ghost, he offered him money so that he could have that power. He really wanted that power. And this is what everybody, so many people want. They want the power and the glory. But the only way to build a molecule that will last will be with people that are into selfless service, looking beyond the small ego of which they are. And if they can do that and obtain soul contact, because in this age, the idea is to let the molecule develop naturally, organically. So when it develops, it cannot be destroyed. And then when it is seen to be working, then the second molecule will come much easier, and the third will become much easier, and the people will begin to, when they see the concept, then it will eventually grow and fill the earth after a long period of time. And so that's what we're after, my friends, to get a group of 24 who will require 12 males and 12 females, creating a molecule similar to the one that Jesus had. But people don't realize the problems Jesus had with his molecule, that they didn't have total agreement amongst themselves, and this is one of the reasons why it didn't last. It fell apart, and when it fell apart, nobody knew how to recreate it.
I thought the disciples went on to do miraculous things after Jesus died. They healed people, they went out, scattered to the world.
Yeah, they did. The molecule fell apart after Judas betrayed it, and it's like a molecule of in chemistry. If you take one atom out, the molecule falls apart. So the human molecule did the same thing. The Judas was taken out and the molecule fell apart, and they went back to fishing. They were just ordinary people until the day of Pentecost, and then they added Matthias. They got the missing ingredient back in, and then fire appeared over all their heads, and then the apostles went out and taught the world, and they were all killed. And when they were killed, nobody knew how to recreate the molecule.
So were the apostles overshadowed on the day of Pentecost?
Peter was overshadowed, and then the energy was circulated around the whole group.